been going through 2 Samuel, but we're not going to do that this morning. something else came up, and I thought, I always like this story of Rahab and all that. This came out of, a little Bible study over at Paula's house. So Paula, I have you to thank for this. we went through the book of Ruth and Thursday with few folks at Paula's house, and then we touched on the story of Rahab, and I got to thinking about it this week, and it's like, yeah, that's some good stuff there. So turn to Hebrews chapter 11. You got your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. And I talk about Rahab's faith. Rahab's faith. If there is one thing that the Lord does with the things He records in the Scriptures, He definitely tries to provoke His own people, or at least His own nation, to jealousy by showing how many strangers got in on the blessings of God, or get in on the blessings of God. And that was a real indictment to the Israelites, who had blessings from God and were not right with God. A lot of them were not right with God. And to see that strangers who don't have the blessings that Israel had come to know the Lord and receive His blessings, that became a problem for a lot of Israelites. But Hebrews 11, the one thing that Hebrews 11 is trying to explain is that God he blesses faithfulness. See, that's what he's looking for, is faithfulness. He's looking for someone who would hear the words of God and act on the words of God. And so Rahab is, if you know anything about her story, we'll just read this one verse, and then we'll probably jump back to Joshua, because that's where all the story happens. But Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31 says, "By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not." See the contrast? There were people who didn't believe, and they ended up perishing. And she did, but she wasn't one of those. "By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace." Rahab's story is a prostitute in Jericho, and she may be more than, she may run a whole I don't know, a house of prostitutes, I don't know, but she's a prostitute in Jericho. Jericho is the first city the Israelites come to when they exit the wilderness and start to enter into the promised land. Jericho's the first city. And Sunday school, you might have sang that Joshua fought the battle of Jericho and the walls came tumbling down. That was what happened. The Israelites were told to march around the city, and the Lord would give Jericho into the hands of the Israelites, and they weren't to leave anything there. They could take out the treasures, the gold, the silver, they could take out some of the treasures, but nothing was to be left of the culture there, just to get rid of the whole culture in Jericho. So two spies are sent before this happens to Jericho by Moses. Two spies are sent. They spy out the city. And if you would, go back to Joshua, and I'll show you the history. And then we'll talk about Rahab's faith in all this. But in Joshua chapter 2, verse 1, here's the history of it. Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country." And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said, "Thus there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were." And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I want not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan under the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, so this is the conversation Rahab had had with the spies. Before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, when you came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." That's a pretty good thought. "Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father, my mother, my brethren, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." And the men answered her, "Our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, we will deal kindly and truly with thee." Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, "Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may you go your way." So that's the account. The spies show up in Jericho. Rahab hides them. She makes a deal with them because she understands and believes that the God of Israel is God, and that what he said about the promised land and what he said to the nation of Israel is true, and that Jericho and her land and the land she lives in and much other land would become the property of the Israelites. And so she believes that. Rahab believes that. And so she responds by making a deal with the spies, hiding the spies. And then there's the, you know, she lies about where they are and all that kind of stuff. And so that's something else. But anyhow, the thing that the Lord highlights in Rahab's life is the fact that she believes the words of God. And the application of that in her life meant to become friendly and to try to make peace with the nation that God had promised the land to. So that's what she does. The best way she can, she does that. And she wants her house to be saved. She wants her family to be saved out of this, because she knows what's coming, because she believes what God said to Israel, and she's watched the God of Israel bless the nation of Israel in overcoming enemies and defeating other enemies and things like that. So, a few things about Rahab's faith, because the commentary on all this in the New Testament is in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, where it talks about, by faith, Rahab the harlot hid the spies, and that's the commentary. She did this by faith. And that was the thing that God was looking for. That's the thing he's looking for in anybody. Faithfulness. He's just looking for faithfulness. Looking for someone who would believe the words of God. So faith number one is this. You find it out in Rahab's life for sure. Faith is responsive. It's hearing and believing. And then the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And God had said what he said to the nation of Israel, and Rahab, she believes that. She believes what God said to the nation of Israel. She believes the word of God. She knows the nation is going to inherit the land. And so she explains her belief to these spies and explains why she's doing what she's doing, because she just believes the God of Israel. She believes him. And to the, you know, other folks in Jericho, it looks like they could have believed if they wanted to, but instead they chose to fight it out, and that didn't work. But she believed God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. God said it, and Rahab responded in faith to his words. Now, here's a question. At the beginning of Hebrews, you have a definition of faith. The definition is faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Got it? So what was Sunday school? What was the substance of Rahab's belief? What did it produce? What manifestation did it take on in Rahab's life? Well, it took on the form of really committing treason against her own, hiding spies. That was her faith. That was the substantive effect that believing God had on her life. No doubt some other folks maybe in Jericho maybe thought Israel would inherit the land, but they just didn't do anything about it. Maybe they chose to fight about it. But obviously Rahab is the one who acts in faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The substance of Rahab's belief in God's words is that she hides the spies. This is faith. The evidence that Rahab trusts what God said about Israel in the future of her town is that she hides the spies. That is a substantive act. That is proof that I believe something that God said about the future. Therefore, my behavior is going to be this. I'm going to act this way. And the Lord says that is faith. That is responding in faith. It must be substantive, or else it would be dead. I mean, if Rahab believes what God says about Israel, but she doesn't make any deal with the spies, if she doesn't try to do anything with the spies, what happens to Rahab when Israel comes to Jericho? She dies. It doesn't really matter what she thought in her imagination. It doesn't really matter what she thought in her mind about God's words. What matters is what she did with it. And what she did with it, God found acceptable, and the nation of Israel found acceptable. Faith is responsive. It's the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. That's the definition of it. It takes on a form. I guess I don't know how other way to say this. But to say it has substance means it takes on a form. There's some form to it. Meaning it's not just in your head. It's not just Rahab sitting around the house saying, man, Israel's going to show up. And I don't know, you know, they're just going to show up. And we're just going to be afraid. And, you know, everybody's going to die, I guess. So I guess, eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow we die. That would be, I guess, what Paul would call belief in vain, where you just have this mental mental idea and really everything about God is just contained in your mind. It's just contained in thoughts. But it has no substance to it. It doesn't bring about anything. First point you find with Rahab is you find a really good definition of faith, that it's responsive. There's substance. There's something you can put your hands on. Second thing I noticed, not only is faith responsive to God's words, and it's responsive to God's words. I'll make a little distinction here. A lot of things people call faith is not really faith. It's like they say, I belong to the faith or something like that. Or that means I belong to some religion. Or faith, the Bible says, cometh by hearing, and hearing by the words of God. So faith isn't just something you just make up. It's not like, well, if you just believe strongly enough, if you just believe it, then it'll happen. That's not faith. That may be a positive attitude. That may be, you know, just trying to be generally positive about stuff. But if God didn't say it, there's not any faith happening. Because faith is the response to the words of God. That's the response. It's not something you make up. It's not just in your mind. It's not something you just say, well, I just got to have faith about it. Well, if God didn't say it, you can't have any faith about it, because it's not anything God said. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Rahab hears God give, he's going to give the land to the nation of Israel. Rahab hears that. And she sees evidence of it, and she sees how God is giving the land to the nation of Israel. We watched you destroy these kings. We watched what's happened. And look, just for my family, I want to be able to be in good with you people that are going to inherit this land, because I know you're going to inherit the land. There's substance to it. It's a response to the words of God. It's not just we call things faith that aren't faith, and we try to put a spiritual spin on stuff, and it's not spiritual. It's just what I want or something. You know, I want it bad enough. I'm just got to have faith to get it. Well, if God didn't say it, then there's no promise of it. There's nothing there. Faith is a response to God's words, and it's responsive. By faith, the harlot Rahab perish not, with them that believe not, and she hid the spies. That's Hebrews 11. The second thing is faith, because it's substantive, because it brings about a response, faith also brings a rescue. There's salvation in it. The words, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not. That's life. That means she was delivered from something that other people weren't delivered from. And the only reason she got delivered was because of her faith. The only reason she was recognized from all of the other inhabitants of Jericho is because of what she believed about God's word. That's the only reason. So faith leads to rescue. God's words are life. They're literally life. It's tangible. It's life giving. Faith in God's words brings life. It's like the words of God are just simple analogy. It's like the words of God are like a life preserver, I guess. And if you know about a life preserver, that's good. But if you don't hold on to the life preserver, you don't grab onto it, if you don't have something you do with this, then the life preserver, it doesn't do any good. It does good if you grab onto it, to sit around and talk about it. You know, it's got this color, it looks like this, it's circular. You know, if you throw it in the water, it floats. All that stuff is fine, you can talk about it. But when it comes to a life-saving issue, All that talk about it doesn't mean anything unless you use it. How did Rahab use her faith? Well, she made a deal with some spies. Under the threat of probably treason, you know, like this is, she's not being very patriotic for Jericho, accepting that these people are going to come in and take over the land. You know, that doesn't sound very patriotic. You're just going to accept all that, but that's the words of God. And so she latches onto that, and by latching onto the words of God, it brings forth a rescue, deliverance, which is kind of neat. When I don't know if you noticed it, but Rahab's house is on the wall. Some of y'all know this. Rahab's house is on the wall. Anybody remember how Jericho fell? Joshua fought the battle of Jericho and the walls came tumbling down. Well, I imagine all the walls came tumbling down except one part of the wall. The wall that was built on the rock that stood. It stood. There's rescue in it. When God knocked the walls of Jericho down, Rahab and her household were saved by faith. When Israel came in and destroyed the people of Jericho, according to God's words, Rahab and her family were spared because of faith. Remember, faith has brought all of this about. I mean, Jericho, the people of Jericho could pick up swords, they could pick up guns, whatever. They weren't going to defeat the nation of Israel. What probably would have been better is if all of the inhabitants of Jericho had acted like Rahab. Then God would have probably done something a little bit different. He might have destroyed the culture, but he probably would have saved the people. It sounds like, you know, all right, well, Rahab is just an exceptional sort of you know, God just shows favor to her because she's just, you know, he's just showing favor. No, he just shows favor to people who have faith. And if there are other people in Jericho who have faith, you know what happens to those other people? They get spared, undoubtedly, because that's what God does. Faith brings about rescue. It sounds like the words of God are life to some, and it is. But unfortunately, the words of God are death to others. Well, how do you get out from underneath the words of God? I remember one time Jesus Christ says, look, the words that I speak unto you, they are life and all that kind of stuff. And then he says, how does he say it? He talks about the wrath of God. They'll be judged by the words of God. The wrath of God abideth on them already. I mean, you're already under the judgment. How do I get out from underneath the judgment? Well, I have faith. I trust what God said. And not just trust in my imagination. I grab hold of that life preserver. Who's a life preserver now? It's Jesus Christ now. Now, in this story, it's not Jesus Christ. That's not who she's grabbing hold of or anything. She's just grabbing hold of the words of God that say, Israel's going to get this land. And she grabs hold of those words, and she does what she can, the best she can, to implement, to make something happen. And so, but faith brings about rescue. Rahab's house is undoubtedly the only one standing when all of Jericho falls. The walls come tumbling down, except Rahab's house. And the spies tell Rahab to hide all of her family in her house. Over there in Joshua chapter 2, verse 19, they say, well, put all your family in your house. And maybe they knew how this was going to go, I don't know. But they said, put all your family in your house. That way, when we come here, then your whole family is spared by your faith. Which is, there's something to that. Something to that. I heard a sermon, I don't know, it's been years ago. But the question is, because her household is saved because of her faith. That's why everyone in her house is saved, because of her faith. And I heard a sermon, it's been years ago, and the question was, what has your faith done for someone else? What did her faith do for her family? Well, it saved her family. What did your faith do for someone else? That's a good question. But faith brings about rescue. It's responsive, number one. Number two, it brings about rescue. Number three, it's a faith that renews. It's a faith that renews. You know, when Israel comes into the land and the walls of Jericho come tumbling down, you know, they marched around it seven times, walls of Jericho come tumbling down, they burn the city, and there's nothing left in the city. And they take out the gold and the silver, and the whole culture, the whole city of Jericho is burned to the ground. All of Rahab's old life is gone. Her old life is gone. It's done. It's a faith that renews. Because of her faith, her old life is over. Make sense? It's not Rahab the harlot anymore. Now it's Rahab the Ammonite Israelite or something. It's not Rahab the harlot. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. But Rahab's faith, we find later on, she's no longer Rahab the harlot. She's no longer in that line of work. All of her clientele is dead. There is no more business. She doesn't pick up business with Israelites. And in fact, you'll find out what she does do, and that's going to be really neat. When you find out the account, if you're in Joshua, go to Joshua chapter 6, because this is where everything gets knocked down. You know, I read a verse in the New Testament. Well, let me read this first, and then I'll take you to that one, or I'll just tell you about it. Joshua chapter 6, verse 1, we'll start there. But verse 1, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And you shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. So that's the marching orders. Walk around the city 6 days, one time a day, and then on the seventh day, I think it's 7 times, and then blow the trumpets. And verse 17, the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel cursed and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into this treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets. It came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpets and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein. Only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron they put into the treasury house of the Lord. So they destroy the whole city. The walls come down. They burn the whole city. It's brutal. It's gruesome. But if the people of Jericho had just trusted God, then they would probably be in the same position Rahab is. But they don't trust God. they're against God. That's what Hebrews said. They're just unbelievers. They want to fight God. And so the city gets burned down. Walls come down. City gets burned down. Everything except the gold, the silver, and the valuable stuff gets put into the treasury house of the Lord. And it reminds me of something that I read in the New Testament when Paul says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And in the beginning of that, it talks about laying on this foundation, gold, silver, and precious stones. And I read something like this, like, you know what? There's some connection there. Everything that wasn't built on faith in Jericho burned to the ground. The only thing that lasted was something that was built on faith. The only thing that existed after the judgment of God was what was built on faith. Where in Jericho did someone trust God? And wherever that place is found, that's the place that's left standing. But everything else, that was not a part of believing God, trusting God, not a part of that, was left in ashes. That sounds like something that may happen in the future, where everything that's not a part of God's believing group of people is left in unfortunately, left in ashes. And then there's maybe some valuable stuff that gets taken out. I read it over there in Psalms where the wicked store up treasures and then the righteous just come and it's given to the righteous. They just store up treasure. That's all they're about, is storing up treasure, storing up treasure, storing up treasure, and then they die. Well, one day all that treasure, there is a, what do they say, there's a word for all that. There's a shift in the wealth. And the world is no longer the possessor of all the wealth. And the world only possessed it for a while, and then it's given forever. I mean, then the family of God is there to enjoy what's not only the wealth, but without the curse and things like that. Faith renews. It's new life. New life for, going back to Rahab, it's new life for Rahab. Her old life, what do they say in Jesus Christ, your new creature, behold, old things are passed away. All things are become new. Rahab, you have a new life. Your entire life is starting from here now. You're not a harlot anymore. You're incorporated into the family of God. You're with the people of God. You have the blessings. You've been grafted in, so to speak. Faith that renews. And faith that, here's another one, faith that rends the faithful from the unfaithful. The Bible says over there in Hebrews, Rahab perished not with them that believed not. So the ones that don't perish are the ones that have faith, and the ones that do perish are the ones that don't have any faith. And the Lord, that's the separation, separated from the perishing people. Whosoever would believe, like I said earlier, I think whoever would believe God, they would be found faithful. They would be incorporated with Rahab and all that. But just to really hone in on this, there is literally no difference between Rahab as far as her cultural life. There is no difference between Rahab and the inhabitants of Jericho. In fact, you might say Rahab is probably of the baser sort in Jericho. She's a harlot. The only thing that sets Rahab apart is Rahab believed God when she had the opportunity to believe God. And that affected her life. That changed her life. That affected her family. It did change her. It did change her profession in the future. But if you're just looking across the board and you're going to say, well, who does God accept in Jericho? Well, we got these priests over here, and these guys, they're maybe righteous, I don't know. We got the church over there down in Main Street at Jericho, and we got, you know, these people are, and all of Jericho, who would have thought? Who would have thought it? No, it's Rahab. It's Rahab is the one that God accepted. Why? Because of her faith. She trusted God, and not just trusted God in her mind, it was faith. She acted on what she knew about God's words. Faith that rends the faithful from the unfaithful. There is literally, I don't know, you'd say there's literally no difference between Rahab and her lifestyle and the lifestyle of people in Jericho. And I'm not saying that just to like debase or make something unholy, because Rahab's faith, when she had faith, when she acted on what the words of God, that literally changed everything about her life. So she didn't just go back into being a prostitute. She didn't just go back into her old lifestyle. But the thing that made her different from all of the city was she just believed God. Colossians, Paul says it this way, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers. That's acceptable. Meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us. He's talking to just heathen Gentiles. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Well, how do you get translated from the power of darkness into light? Well, by faith. By faith. Faith is responsive. It's not imaginary. It's responsive. Faith is something that renews. Faith is something that brings about a rescue. It's deliverance. And faith, regardless of consequences. Quickly here, what Rahab does in Jericho is, you would probably say, if you were a Jerichoite, you would probably think what she's doing is treason. You hide spies, you hide enemies of our city, and you take them to your house, and you provide shelter for them, and you lied for them, and you provide them with a safety. And not only that, you make a deal with them. So outside of Rahab, what you might think is it's treason. But regardless of the consequences, Rahab's faith in God's words ignored the threat it produced in Jericho. Rahab's hiding these spies, and here comes national security, and they come to your door. We heard there's some folks in here. We need to look around. Well, if you can look around, I think they left. I mean, they're probably down the road a ways, and you know, you're welcome to go look, but there's nobody here. National security. This is the king's security agency. These folks show up, and they're looking for foreign enemies. The foreign enemies just happen to be God's people, though. Regardless of the consequences. So Rahab, she knows this is dangerous. This is dangerous what I'm doing. This is dangerous to my life. This is dangerous. But regardless of consequences, she sacrifices her life to trust God's words. Literally sacrifices her life to trust God's words. If the king finds out, I mean, she's dead. But here's the irony. The safe position to just give up the spies seems safe for the time, but in a few days, your whole city is going to be ashes. So it's really not the safe position. You can give up the spies, and you can tell the king where they are, but in a week, your king is dead. In a week, all of these people that you're afraid of, the National Security Agency people, they're all dead. So what appears to be safety, you know, well, if we just act in safety here, if we just, you know, I know what God said, but you know, we really don't need to. It puts my life in a dangerous position if I'm going to act in faith. I mean, it's going to be dangerous if I act in faith. The irony is, it's going to be more dangerous if you don't. The irony is, if you don't act in faith, everything you hope in and everything you put your foundation in is going to be destroyed in a few days. Faith, regardless of consequences. And then this lastly, faith that reconciles. Rahab is brought, after this whole thing, Rahab is brought into God's fold. Let me show you something. Look in Ephesians. I'll just give you a little cross-reference here. Rahab's brought into God's people. And here's how Paul talks about some of this stuff. Because it's faith. It's the what do you do with God's words now? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Here's a reconciling faith. Paul's writing to a bunch of heathen Gentiles here. He says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were near, that were nigh." The you that are far off, that's Gentile. This is just heathen people. The ones that were near were Israelites. And he would bring into one. I understand we're a little bit further ahead here. This is Rahab's back here before Jesus Christ, but this is the idea. Faith reconciles. It reconciles. And in Jesus Christ, it reconciles all men. But Rahab does this. This is pretty cool. Not only is Rahab incorporated into the family of God, not only is Rahab, I should say, incorporated into the nation of Israel, Rahab's faith has delivered her. Rahab's faith has delivered her family. Rahab's faith has renewed her life. She's got a new life. Old things are passed away. All things become new now. Rahab has been separated from unbelieving people. And then she's put into the family of God. She's put into, say, the household of God. And look in Matthew. This is pretty cool. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 5. Well, verse 1. Faith that reconciles. You talk about a reconciliation. Now watch this. Faith that reconciles. Matthew 1:1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. Judas begat Perez and Zerah of Tamar, Phares begat Esrom, Esrom begat Aram, Aram begat Amminadab, Amminadab begat Nahshon, and Nahshon begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz of who? Rahab. And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king. Wow. David begat Solomon, and then you go on down the line, and Rahab is not only accepted into the household of God as a heathen, now incorporated into the nation of Israel, but she is also put into now the line of Christ. But before Jesus Christ, she becomes the mother of a man named Boaz. Anybody ever read the book of Ruth? Boaz, the hero of that book, is Rahab's son. That's Rahab's son. And Boaz and Ruth, they marry, and they have Obed, almost there. They have Obed. Obed has a young man named Jesse, and Jesse has a young man named David. Rahab, not only a part of the nation of Israel, but a very important part of the nation of Israel now. A key part of the nation of Israel. And the Lord says, you see that? You see that faith? You see what Rahab did there? That's what I approve of. That's what I approve of. When you hear the word of God, you do something with it. And that's faith. That's what I approve of. And so now Rahab is, she's the, what would that make her? The great-great-grandmother of David. Ruth, the great-grandmother of David. And then further down the line of Christ. Rahab, the harlot. But by faith, Rahab hid the spies. Perish not within the believe not. And because of that, her life is completely different. Her old life has passed away. Because of her faith, she's delivered. She has salvation. And because of that, God is pleased with her. In fact, He's so pleased that He gives her children that become royalty. And not just children that become royalty, she has children, a child further down the line that is the Messiah. That's something. Now, I try to, you got the point of it. I mean, you got the message here. I try to read some of this stuff. If I was an Israelite reading this and thinking, you know, there are a lot of other people probably that you could incorporate into the line of the Messiah. But Lord, why would you put her in that? Why would you put Ruth in there? And I can just hear the Lord's like, don't you get it? I'm just looking for someone who will listen to what I say and do it. I'm just looking for someone who will believe my words. Yes, you have as a nation my words, but it doesn't affect you. Rahab, on the other hand, she risked her life for my words. And you think I'm going to overlook that? No. Rahab is my people. You, on the other hand, yet to be determined. But Rahab, she's got what I'm looking for. That's my people. It reminds me of Jesus Christ when He says, the folks outside, they say, your mother and your brethren are here and they want to talk to you. And He says, who are my mother and my brethren? Except they that hear my words and believe them. That's my family. These are my people who are connected to me by the words of God. What is this? This is Rahab's faith. Boy, it did a lot. It did a lot for her. She is something else. Something else. But it highlights, if anything, it just serves to highlight and consolidate and put a magnifying glass over what God is looking for. Yeah, she had a bad life. She did bad stuff. Man, but when she trusted God and when she believed what I said, that is what I was looking for. That was what I was looking for in my own people, and I couldn't find it. But I found it in her. Something else. Oh, Rahab. I like the story of Rahab because, you know, as just a non-Israelite, American, Gentile, that's relatable. That's relatable. I relate to that. So I hope that's helpful. Be encouraged. Be helped. That's what God's looking for. By faith, Rahab the harlot received the spies and was delivered and perished not with them that believe not. By faith. By faith. Sam, why don't you come and play a little bit, and we'll have a little time of reflection, something to think about. But I hope that is encouraging.